Marty Hawk checks in with us every Wednesday morning. The county councilwoman makes her weekly Wednesday visit. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad that I finally made it home last night. What a storm we had. I understand you were caught in it as well, Margaret.
I was. I got hailed on. I got drenched.
You got to keep WGCL radio.
I hope you didn't get drenched or anything.
Well, the rain I can deal with. It was the hail that hit my car.
Oh.
That now I have to replace my roof from the hail that hit a few weeks ago, and I don't even want to look to see the damage on my car because it was coming down so hard and hitting so hard. I thought this windshield is going to break.
I know, it's scary being in the car.
I'm stuck out there.
Yeah.
Once you're on the road, what are you going to do?
Yes, and again, but if you keep WGCLradio.com, the radar up on your phone, you can say, hey, my wife was like, I'm going to leave now. And I said, you know, it's 7:45 and there's a tornado warning until 8 o'clock, right? And she was like, no, I didn't hear that. I'm like, you're going to just hang out with me for a couple more minutes. I don't want you flying back to Kansas for the weekend.
goodness.
Would you leave me here with the children? That would be, we'd have to go to Aunt Marty's house for the weekend and then take care of all of that. Well, it's good everybody's safe. It's good our friends in Greene County didn't have tremendous damage from anything, that mini or the very slight tornado. It's only slight when it's not in your backyard.
Hopefully
came
it was
through
just
there.
Some limb damage and things
yes.
like that.
Yes, so let's keep an eye out tonight, Marty, as well, if you're out and about, because same time-ish, it's going to turn from a 50% to a 90% chance of, and some of those storms could be severe again tonight.
I think I may skip that political rally. All of those rallies going on this evening. I think I'll stay here where I can hit that basement if I need to.
That's exactly right. So those rallies are going to take place they're all over. Bernie Sanders will be at the IU Auditorium coming up. I've put the link to our Facebook page. That's going to pop up here in a couple minutes. Donald Trump is in Indianapolis at the state fairgrounds again, but in the big arena this time, bringing along Robert Montgomery Knight. Some people around here might have heard of him. So we've got the links posted, or we'll be posting on our Facebook page here in the next couple of minutes, and you can get all your information, how to register, and do all that. You just follow us, facebook.com/WGCL radio. So that's all there, ready to go. Did you have a meeting last night, Marty, end of the month?
We did. Finally, I'm looking at the weather as we're getting toward the end of the meeting, and I said, folks, I'm watching the weather. I think I'm out of here. They just didn't get out of there quick enough. At any rate, yes, we had a meeting, and one of the things we talked about was setting up the fund numbers and so forth to receive that additional income tax that all the taxpayers here in the county have been paying for services for that 1% income tax, as well as the juvenile income tax. And the state was hanging on to a portion of it and keeping like a 50% balance in our trust account there, and finally decided, and I've discussed this with you a few weeks ago, the state decided that they did not need to keep 50%, and they were going to return a great deal of that to us. So we had a pretty big infusion of money here for the county, about $7 million. I'm rounding off the numbers. I don't have it in front of me. Now, that's not going to be just for Monroe County government. That's so much for the city and all of the different units that receive it. But the state said, now, library, you get to keep all yours. It was like 600 and some thousand for the library. But the county and the city and also, you cannot spend yours just in any way you'd like to cover services that you're already providing. You have to save back 75% of it for roads. And we don't use our income tax for roads and bridges and so forth. We use that to help pay salaries and operational costs. But we're going to be required by the state to use it for roads. Now,
so we ought to have some really fine roads going on. Is that what you're telling us?
Paved in gold.
Yeah, we're going to have really
fine ones. Well, what we can say is that if there is ever a need to put some money into repairing our roads that are falling apart, maybe this is the highest and best use for these dollars. But it doesn't feel real good for the state to tell us what we need more than what our citizens are telling us. But honestly, when you talk with the people, folks in this county, they're not happy about the potholes and the fact that, that the roads are in disrepair.
Marty, I think a lot of people think that that's one of the biggest jobs the county government's supposed to do is take care of the roads. I think fire safety and your police and your roads. I mean, when people say, what is your local government supposed to do? Those are like pretty much the three top ones.
Oh, we are on the same page on that, Margaret. I really do believe that that's what they care about. They care about if they get in their car and they can get to work without tearing their car up with the potholes and so forth. And they want to make sure the snow is removed.
Yes.
And all of that. And that is extremely important. And that brings us then to the next question that's coming down right now. You know, last year there was a big push for people in business and so forth. Let's go to a more income tax and cover for transportation, add to transportation, and so forth. Well, that didn't go through. So this year they're looking to growing income tax for public safety. Now, in my estimation, if there's any time you want to support a new tax, it should be for justice, as you and I both agree here that public safety, it should be a priority as well as roads.
I do agree with that, Marty, but the problem is that we're spending money on other things that aren't in that priority list, that top three priority list, and I think there's places we can get money from and not maybe do some of these other things that I have a really hard time with. When we start doing all these different grant monies out to the not-for-profits, not that they aren't wonderful organizations, I don't mean to say that, but when we've got that kind of money going out and so forth, I think there is money, but we're choosing to use it in other places.
And I don't disagree on that at all. The city is in charge of that income tax, and whatever they choose to put in place is what they will do. Now, Ellisville has moved forward by saying, the town council has moved forward saying they want to support the city doing that with 30% of the money they raise to go to central dispatch, and then the rest of the balance, the other 70%, to be split up amongst the units that provide public safety, and that way then Ellisville could hire more law enforcement or whatever they need to use for public safety. The county's portion could be used to assist us with our jail expenses and perhaps more road deputies and so forth. I get it. I don't like new taxes. I really do not. But I do think that any time you're going to put in a new tax, you better be looking real hard at what is it that we have to provide, that's our obligation to provide, and that the public really needs us to provide, and make sure that we're doing it the highest and best use of every dollar that comes in. I'm not saying that always happens, but indeed,
so, Marty,
the devil is in the details with this particular tax.
With this tax, you've said before that the city's in charge of whether we go after this or not, I believe is what you've said.
Right.
And so if people do not agree with this tax, if they want to, so they need to communicate with the city and let them know that this is not what they want to see happen. I mean,
what I would suggest is they at least get the details, and not just hear talking points, but see the details. Here's how much money we're talking about raising, and this is what we plan to do with the money, because it is your money. It's public dollars. So those details, I'm sure, will be out for people to see, but
when and where? I mean, we're not hearing any. I'm not seeing anything about this written in the paper or anything. Where is the next meeting about this? Who's talking about it? It sounds like it's almost going completely under the radar to me.
Well, you know, people perhaps are hoping everybody be so involved with the elections that this will happen. Who knows? All I know is this. It's supposed to have some public meetings on it. I have not seen the dollar amount. I've seen some suggestions of what they would be, and I saw the suggestion now that 30% off of the top would go for central dispatch. But off of the top of what? Are they talking about taking it up to the full 0.25%?
Right.
Are we saying that 30% of that is going to bring in, I think it said like $2,100,000? Well, is that more than what Central Dispatch really needs? Do we want to put a slush fund over there? I understand we have to support Central Dispatch. But we shouldn't have it in such an amount that there is like, oh, here we have all this money. We better be figuring out how we're going to grow our...
Exactly, because that's what will exactly happen, Marty. You're correct on that 100%.
And so, as I've said before, as I've talked to some of the folks from the Also area, I said the devil is in the detail. So, we know that we have to provide public safety, but let's make certain that we're not setting up a situation where we're taxing the people more money, but not really providing them any additional services.
Marty, to move on to something that I think maybe would be also of interest to our listeners is how we've been hearing some numbers about how many people have been going and doing the early voting and so forth.
And hold that thought real quick, because okay. I've done a bad job this morning. Early voting this week, work week, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. Monday next week, 8 to noon. So please be aware, there are two places, 401 West 7th Street, and then 201 in the North Showers Building around the business side of the Showers Building are your two early voting places. I forgot to mention
that
this morning.
And second place, from what I had somebody...
Now, that's your building, right? That's a county building, right, Marty?
Right. Well, part of it's the city, part of it's the county, but... It's a second floor, and there is an elevator.
Okay.
Well, and, you know, I was talking to a friend who went there and voted yesterday or the day before, and they claimed that there's, like, almost no signage, that it was really kind of hard to figure out where it was at.
Wow.
That's for the election board people, correct?
I just thought I'd put that out there. I don't know what the story was, but they said there was just, like, no signage, which I thought was very odd.
If you're going to rent a room, let's get people to that room.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know if that's the case.
But the other thing we were talking about on Monday, Marty, is that it seems to me like, you know, we're spending $1 million on this election. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking maybe there's some ways we can actually figure out how to bring these numbers down. And with the numbers I'm hearing about people going to early vote, are we sure we really need to have, what is it, a month worth of early voting? Why is it that we can't just have the week before the election?
That's what I have asked in the past as well, and I believe that the answer was that the rules are the state comes down and tells you how much early voting that you have to have in place. But I'll tell you, the people that serve on that election board would be able to quote you book and verse of exactly how that's supposed to work.
So if this is a state legal problem more than a this is what we want in the county.
If I am recalling that correctly, but okay. I don't think that they tell you you have to have two places or, you know, however many hours or whatever. And so
it just
I
seems
do think that there ought to be ways
absurd.
That we can do this. It's just, I think that there's ways that we ought to be able to do this without spending quite so much money.
I agree.
But that really doesn't ever seem to be up to the council, because the election board puts these things together. Commissioners approve how many, whatever it is they're going to do. Somebody has to pay for it.
The commissioner signs a check. Is that how this basically boils down to?
Well,
no.
They're not actually the ones who literally sign it, but they work with the election board having to do with space needs and so forth. So it is an expensive process. It certainly
this
is.
This time around, in my opinion, has gotten completely out of control. I don't know. I cannot
is
believe
this is an overreaction to the national fervor with what's going on in both races?
The cost of our local election has more to do with what it costs to maintain the equipment and so forth. And the
so this won't matter how many people vote? This won't matter how many people are in the
Right.
In the race.
I mean, I hope a lot of people vote. It'll make each vote not be so expensive.
Well, the cost per vote is it's still the cost. It doesn't matter what the average comes out to be, does it? You still have to write the check for whatever $100,000 it was.
It's we're going to pay the same amount, whether, you know.
Yeah, whether it's $4 a vote or $1.50 a vote, you're still paying the same total.
Right. So, but I do hope everyone is energized enough about this election, even if the candidate of your choice might not still be available to you. Let's just hope that you'll make the best decision you can and get out there.
Well, Marty, you've been one to, and you've talked about this the last 3 weeks on this program, that said, hey, I'm voting on Election Day, and gee whiz, look what happens on Sunday night, Monday morning, that all of a sudden John Kasich and Ted Cruz are going to come out and say, oh, well, I'll get out of your way here, you get out of your way there. That's a twist in the tail that no one really saw coming down the pipe.
Well, it doesn't feel good to me, but you know, maybe that's the way the political game is played, but it doesn't feel good to me. It just feels like someone is saying, we really don't care what the voters are saying. We're going to work this around so that the delegates will change up how this works. Now, maybe I'm just being too pessimistic, and I've never really thought that much about how the delegate process worked. I should have. Most people should have. But you know what? It hasn't affected us this much. When was Indiana so important to a presidential election? It was always, we were sort of way afterthought. It really mattered not a great deal what we did. This year it seems to matter a whole lot.
And we're the only primary next Tuesday. Those spotlights are going to get hot, hot, hot. Donald Trump today is in Indianapolis with Bob Knight, going to stump for him. Bernie Sanders starts his day at Purdue this morning and will be at the IU Auditorium later this evening. The details will be all up on our Facebook page here momentarily, so you can get as involved as you'd like or disengaged as you like. And by God, that's America, and you can do anything
so
you want.
It's so interesting because having just come from the Libertarian State Convention and seeing how, I mean, we've always done this, Marty. We have delegates. They go and vote for the different candidates who are up there wanting to be nominated. We ended up picking, you know, we had multiple contested elections this time. And
everybody's
nobody, we didn't have a popular election though either, Glass. So we just have delegates. We don't actually have, you know, this is where I think people get frustrated in the Republican and the Democrat primary system, is that they think they actually have a voice in what's going on, and then they start hearing these stories about, you know, no, really, the delegates are going to be the ones who make these decisions, not you. And,
well, I will say that the Republican chairman here for the state of Indiana has said that every one of those delegates will be on the first ballot, will be voting for what the voters chose.
And that's wonderful, Marty, because some of them, that's not true. Some of the states.
Let us just hope that in order to stop what might be just a very, very unpleasant situation, if it's that, I just hope if it's going to be close, I hope they just get it nailed, get it done, and stop the fighting and fussing over it. Because I think a lot of us are just real tired of this whole thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. I know I watched the weeks going up to our convention. There was some real contention between some supporters of one group and other supporters of another group. And it's never fun to see that going on because, you know, usually you'd like to consider yourselves all a big, you know, big happy family, and sometimes that family is not happy.
At the end of the day, I'm going to support my party's nomination, and I expect people on the other side of the aisle or whatever side of the aisle you're on. That's probably what the majority is going to do. Others are going to be offended and say, I'm just going to stay home, or I just won't vote for that part of it. And, you know, life is full of choices, and sometimes there's choices that we really ought to make and just hold your nose and do it, this kind of thing. So,
not everybody can be on the winning team, Marty.
Oh, you know what? You don't always get what you want.
But sometimes, if you try sometimes, you just might find
you get what you need.
That's Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, and the Rolling Stones, and that'll wrap us up here on a Wednesday morning. Good job, as always, Marty. Watch that weather. Be safe, and we hope the sunshine returns to Ellettsville tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Have a great day, Marty.
You as well.